A few verses from Luke's Gospel. From Luke's Gospel. It's concerning the cross work of our Lord Jesus. Chapter 23, Luke's Gospel. 33rd verse. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And departed his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering, that was his fellow man on the other side of Christ, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man, this is the Saviour he's speaking about, this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. May God bless that little portion of his word to us. A great many things happened at Calvary that the scripture doesn't show us. But there's four in the many things that did happen. Four things happened there, and they're applicable to each one of us in this little gathering tonight. For instance, there's not an occasion where a preacher of the gospel will fail to take the opportunity of placing before his audience the reality of the Saviour's death. It was no coincidence this here. It was planned away in eternity, the crucifixion of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Like the apostle of old, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. Now, I'm just coming to four little thoughts I want to pass on. And I trust each one of us will apply anything from the scripture that I'm going to say that it might be a big help to each one of us. The first thing is this. Each of these words begins with the letter D. The first one is this. At Calvary, there were decisions made. The next little word is, there were divisions made there. Again, the third one was this. That there was derision there. They derided him, saying, if, they use not preposition if, a small word, but they're implying behind that, that they're not going to accept unless he comes down from the cross. And that was the purpose of the Savior, come to the cross. The last we thought is this, it's concerning destinies are fixed at the cross. Now, the first thing's this. The decisions were made. Those of us who have been reared in newcomers, in whatever association, Baptist church or brethren or any other place where the preaching of the gospel has been faithful and loyal, preached, with nothing in any way to be ashamed of. I'm going back a good many years as a boy, and I can recall occasions in Newcomer when men was meeting to a big tent. Those that smoked the pipe, I saw them bending down and knocking the door to loot their pipe and then putting the pipe into their pocket. I saw men with a cig making for the tent. The sense they were going into God's presence in that tent. It was the same up at the Baptist church. People were drawn to the gospel in those days. And I trust anything I'm going to say about decisions. Now, first thing's this. You can look it up for yourself. Decisions, there's a lovely picture, and it's an anxious view that's placed before us for consideration. It's in the minor prophet of Joel, and you'll find this word, that in the valley there was decisions upon decisions being made. God was speaking in those days. He still is speaking through the gospel. And I trust tonight that as we consider one or two things where men were challenged by the gospel. For instance, I learned in the early gospels, especially where the gospel bringing its weight upon men and women who were convicted of their sinful life. That's what the gospel, the good news from God, is for poor sinners that need a Savior, and this is the occasion. A decision is asked for each one of us. God demands that. That's why it's so emphatic where the challenge comes, an decision has to be made. A decision must be made. You see, there's always results from gospel preaching. Never forget that. They're either accepting the Savior presented by the preacher, or they're rejecting it. Here's what it says here in one of them. Before I leave that wee point, I want to say this. It's the most honourable thing for any poor sinner to make the decision and accept Christ as their Saviour. Many of them. Our Saviour was very, very emphatic in that as he touched fallen humanity. He did that quietly but effectively, making it known to them that they were responsible for the message of the gospel being preached to them. Another thing is this concerning decision. The second wee point that I'm going to touch now is the fact that there was divisions made by the decisions. Decisions fully effectively set before the people to make a decision. The decisions made, but there are divisions made. There's not an occasion that I read in the scriptures where any of the apostles or the Savior himself is setting forth the gospel. But what division? He said himself, he says, I didn't come to make peace. The whole world was lost in sin and wickedness when he came. There had no time for him. He came to seek and to recover that which was lost. And yet, out of love, he tried to persuade men, draw them. That's what he said he would. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I don't know whether that's appreciated or not fully, because in himself there resident eternal life. This one, he didn't know sin, but he had time to speak to sinners, individuals, big multitudes. He set forth the claims there. What did happen? There were results. There was always either accepting or rejecting the claim of the gospel. For instance, this division, it's made different times in the scripture. And it's very, very, I would say, sorrowful to view it, because men and women, when they come up against a challenge from the Bible, they're trying to evade the issues altogether instead of facing the fact. Look up to what the Savior said. If ye die in your sins, whither I go, ye cannot come. That's his word. It's not the preacher's word. These are things, when I heard them, both in the tent and up at the Baptist church, faithfully preached, made you ponder your fear. And yet, from my early teens right up to the last teen in my year's life, I was troubled for years. Didn't know what was wrong with. I saw men that were regenerated by the Holy Spirit because of their decision, irrespective of all the differences that was made outside of that. The next thing was, you could see that there was in that man a new creation. Different ones burn and enlighten my mind still to this very day. They were great trophies of grace won in those days. I'm not ashamed to think of it. Never. Another thing is this concerning this. Maybe some of you will come up behind this when I come up, when I go off the flat. I want to tell you this concerning the division that's made. Everyone, if they don't face it in time, the charge and challenge of the gospel, he came to seek and to recover that which was lost. Again, when he mentioned, as I go from you, whither I go, ye cannot come. These solemn expressions, the Saviour's lips, and yet it was out of love that caused that to be thought of. And any divisions that was made to show them up. Now, the next thing was derision. There were men in that company at Calvary. Women and all were there. There were some of them, it says, they derided him. W.E. Vine has a dictionary of the great Bible. And it's a big, big help to help you to appreciate what certain words mean. Sometimes you can strike it yourself, other times you have to consult that dictionary. But it's well worth it. Well, this man, a great scholar in the scriptures, W.E. Vine, he mentions about they derided him. They turned up their nose. Now you know these people, as soon as they hear it, it challenges them. And they would withdraw from it. But dear friend, I want to stress this to you. Irrespective of these things, God loved you so much that the one who was derided there by that multitude gathered round the cross, he loved them so much that was the reason he was there, was to rescue them from all that sin and death and even hell, because he conquered hell and the grave when he died. Now the last wee word I want to mention to you is concerning this. Destinies are fixed at the cross. I know you've got to listen to the gospel, but God in his love is reaching out in the gospel that you might be saved. The saddest thing I think that ever struck me about Calvary was this. Destinies were fixed. Can I substantiate that from the scripture? Of course we can. What does it mean? You think about that malefactor. If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. His co-partner on the other side, dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? This man, he has done nothing amiss. That man didn't know that Pilate silenced his conscience time and again in the judgment hall. Although he came out, 3 times he came out, I find no fault in him at all, the Saviour of the world, who did no sin. In him was no sin, but at the place called Calvary, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In closing, I want to put this picture to you. Sometimes we think how friends can be a great help before the end. I think it's the most solemn picture the scripture portrays to us, apart from men going in to an undone eternity where there's blackness and darkness, where the worm dieth not, the fire's not quenched. Irrespective of that, here's a scene at Calvary. Can you tell me from the scripture if you saw any greater picture and a company that those two men were in, one on either side of the Saviour? I'm sure you couldn't. One, the both of them had the seven sayings of the Lord. Don't forget that. The other thing is this. God in His mercy must have spoke to the one who interviewed the other man and, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" But this man, and he's speaking about the Saviour here, this man has done nothing amiss. That man, with his jibe, and his criticism, and all that it meant, he went from the side of Christ into an undone eternity. That's what happened. There never was in greater company than in the Saviour. It brings it home to me. And I have kith and kin, and some are no saved yet. I'm annoyed about them, and very anxious about their salvation. The other is simple plea and prayer. "Lord, remember me when thou dost come into your kingdom." This is today. You'll be with me in the kingdom. That was lovely, isn't it? I trust that the simplicity of the little message I had just gathered up, it may be blessed to you and help you to appreciate the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you. Forget the whole world for a moment, and it's you that is it. You. May God bless you.